Hello, and welcome to Tales for Life. In each episode of this podcast, we'll explore a folk or fairy tale from a different culture or region and discover the life lessons, values, and morals they offer that we can use today. Join me on the journey through the magical and meaningful world of folk and fairy tales. Hello, story lovers, and thanks for joining me for another episode of Tales for Life, the podcast that journeys through life one tale at a time. Today we've got a fantastic episode for anyone who's ever worried that success is reserved for the naturally gifted. Spoiler alert, it's not. I've titled this episode, It's Not About Talent, It's About Dedication, because that's what truly makes the difference. Let's be real. It's easy to look at top athletes, celebrated artists, brilliant business leaders, basically anyone who's at the pinnacle of their field, and think, wow, they must have been born with something special. And yes, sure, certain traits like being tall, strong, fast, or super clever can be an advantage. But here's the kicker. That's not the magic ingredient that gets someone to the top. Success in any field, whether it's the arts, business, sports, or something else entirely, isn't just about riding the wave of natural talent. If it were, we'd see a completely different lineup of the best baseball players, actors, speakers, and creators out there. In fact, you've probably known someone in your own life who was incredibly talented, but never quite made it. Why? Because success demands grit. It requires pushing through setbacks, enduring those moments where progress feels invisible, and overcoming obstacles that might make others quit. At the end of the day, it's the people who keep going, even when things get tough, tedious, or downright discouraging, who reach the finish line. And often, their talent is just the cherry on top, not the main dish. This life lesson is so important that, yes, our ancestors put it into story for us so that we could remember it easily, share it with others, and pass it down through generations. One really wonderful story on this theme comes from the Brothers Grimm and is titled, The Poor Miller's Boy and the Cat. In a certain mill lived an old miller who had neither wife nor child, and three apprentices served under him. As they had been with him several years, he one day said to them, "I am old and want to sit in the chimney corner. Go out, and whichsoever of you brings me the best horse home, to him will I give the mill. And in return for it, he shall take care of me till my death." The third of the boys was, however, the drudge, who was looked on as foolish by the others. They begrudged the mill to him, and afterwards he would not have it. Then all three went out together, and when they came to the village, the two said to stupid Hans, "Thou mayst just as well stay here. As long as thou livest, thou wilt never get a horse." Hans, however, went with them, and when it was night, they came to a cave in which they lay down to sleep. The two sharp ones waited until Hans had fallen asleep. Then they got up and went away, leaving him where he was, and they thought they had done a very clever thing, but it was certain to turn out ill for them. When the sun arose and Hans woke up, he was lying in a deep cavern. He looked around on every side and exclaimed, "Oh heavens, where am I?" Then he got up and clambered out of the cave, went into the forest and thought, "Here I am quite alone and deserted. How shall I obtain a horse now?" Whilst he was thus walking full of thought, he met a small tabby cat, which said quite kindly, "Hans, where are you going?" "Alas, thou canst not help me." "I well know your desire," said the cat. "You wish to have a beautiful horse. Come with me and be my faithful servant for 7 years long, and then I will give you one more beautiful than any you have ever seen in your whole life." "Well, this is a wonderful cat," thought Hans, but I am determined to see if she is telling the truth." So she took him with her into her enchanted castle, where there were nothing but cats who were her servants. They leapt nimbly upstairs and downstairs, and were merry and happy. In the evening, when they sat down to dinner, three of them had to make music. One played the bassoon, the other the fiddle, and the third put the trumpet to his lips and blew out his cheeks as much as he possibly could. When they had dined, the table was carried away, and the cat said, "Now, Hans, come and dance with me." "No," said he, "I won't dance with a pussy cat. I have never done that yet." "Then take him to bed," said she to the cats. So one of them lighted him to his bedroom, one pulled his shoes off, one his stockings, and at last one of them blew out the candle. Next morning they returned and helped him out of bed, one put his stockings on for him, one tied his garters, one brought his shoes, one washed him, and one dried his face with her tail. "That feels very soft," said Hans. He, however, had to serve the cat and chop some wood every day. And to do that, he had an axe of silver, and the wedge and saw were of silver, and the mallet of copper. So he chopped the wood small, stayed there in the house, and had good meat and drink, but never saw anyone but the tabby cat and her servants. Once she said to him, "Go and mow my meadow and dry the grass," and gave him a scythe of silver and a whetstone of gold, but bade him deliver them up again carefully. So Hans went thither and did what he was bidden, and when he had finished the work he carried the scythe, whetstone, and hay to the house, and asked if it was not yet time for her to give him his reward. "No," said the cat, "you must first do something more for me of the same kind. There is timber of silver, carpenter's axe, square, and everything that is needful, all of silver. With these, build me a small house." Then Hans built the small house, and said that he had now done everything, and still he had no horse. Nevertheless, the 7 years had gone by with him as if they were 6 months. The cat asked him if he would like to see her horses. "Yes," said Hans. Then she opened the door of the small house, and when she had opened it, there stood 12 horses. Such horses, so bright and shining, that his heart rejoiced at the sight of them. And now she gave him to eat and drink, and said, "Go home. I will not give thee thy horse away with thee, but in 3 days' time I will follow thee and bring it." So Hans set out, and she showed him the way to the mill. She had, however, never once given him a new coat, and he had been obliged to keep on his dirty old smock frock which he had brought with him, and which, during the 7 years, had everywhere become too small for him. When he reached home, the two other apprentices were there again as well, and each of them certainly had brought a horse with him, but one of them was a blind one, and the other lame. They asked Hans where his horse was. "It will follow me in 3 days' time." Then they laughed and said, "Indeed, stupid Hans, where wilt thou get a horse?" "It will be a fine one." Hans went into the parlor, but the miller said he should not sit down to table, for he was so ragged and torn that they would all be ashamed of him if anyone came in. So they gave him a mouthful of food outside, and at night, when they went to rest, the two others would not let him have a bed, and at last he was forced to creep into the goose house and lie down on a little hard straw. In the morning when he awoke, the 3 days had passed, and a coach came with 6 horses, and they shone so bright that it was delightful to see them. And a servant brought a 7th as well, which was for the poor miller's boy. And a magnificent princess alighted from the coach and went into the mill. And this princess was the little tabby cat whom poor Hans had served for 7 years. She asked the miller where the miller's boy and drudge was. Then the miller said, "We cannot have him here in the mill, for he is so ragged. He is lying in the goose house." Then the king's daughter said that they were to bring him immediately. So they brought him out, and he had to hold his little smock frock together to cover himself. The servants unpacked splendid garments and washed him and dressed him, and when that was done, no king could have looked more handsome. Then the maiden desired to see the horses which the other apprentices had brought home with them, and one of them was blind and the other lame. So she ordered the servant to bring the seventh horse, and when the miller saw it, he said that such a horse as that had never yet entered his yard. "And that is for the third miller's boy," said she. "Then he must have the mill," said the miller. But the king's daughter said that the horse was there, and that he was to keep his mill as well, and took her faithful Hans and set him in the coach and drove away with him. They first drove to the little house which he had built with the silver tools, and behold, it was a great castle, and everything inside it was of silver and gold. And then she married him, and he was rich, so rich that he had enough for all the rest of his life. After this, let no one ever say that anyone who is silly can never become a person of importance. This story is perfect for this episode because it highlights the four key aspects of success. First, you need a clear goal. Hans' goal was to bring back the best horse to the miller. Not the best horse ever, just the best of the three. It's a crucial reminder. Our goals should be achievable and realistic. When we have a specific, attainable goal, we can move on to step two. Step two is doing the work. At the beginning, Hans and the other apprentices set out together, but the others tried to trick him and take shortcuts. Hans, meanwhile, apprenticed himself to a cat for 7 years. He worked hard, chopping wood, mowing fields, building a house. Task that didn't directly look like his end goal. But the lesson is clear. Success often means putting in time and effort on things that might not seem related, but are essential to the journey. Which is the third aspect of success and the theme of this episode? Determination. The success Hans achieves at the end of the story is not due to any special talent or skill he has. It's not even really due to the cat, who just happens to be a princess. It's his determination to do the work, all of it, as well as he could. In contrast, the other apprentices, without determination, brought back lame and blind horses. In short, half-hearted effort leads to half-hearted results. Finally, success often happens behind the scenes. Like Hans, you'll work hard without applause or recognition. People might think you haven't achieved anything, but you'll know the effort you've put in. And, like Hans, you'll see your success unfold, because you were dedicated and didn't give up. Success isn't about talent. It's about showing up, working hard, and staying committed, even when no one's watching. The story of the poor miller's boy and the cat illustrates that determination and effort are the real keys to achieving your goals. So, keep going, trust the process, stay true to your path, and your success will follow. Thanks for listening, and be sure to come back next week for the next episode of Tales for Life for more inspiring folk wisdom.